This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that finds a little bit of homo in every film. My name is Paul Tonta.
And I'm Kylie Eddy.
Thanks to Pete Dillon from Cravings.
100 episodes next week. Wow, there better be some food in here.
What's 100 episodes? Is it gold, diamonds, bread?
Paper.
Yeah,
wine, gorgeous. Probably knowing Pete.
Lots of really expensive wine. What are we reviewing on this week's show, Kylie?
Well, once again, we are nothing if not eclectic. Mm. So we have a new Aussie thriller called Blame.
Ooh.
A French, well, it's not really an independent film, to be honest. It's one of the biggest box office successes that France has had for a long time.
Yes, correct.
Called Little White Lies. And finally,
we're going Hollywood. Big blockbuster.
We're going the gross out chick flick to end all chick flicks, Bridesmaids.
So we're travelling around the world, Australia, America, France. And our music actually is very similar as well. We're all around the world. It's so exciting. If you'd like to contact us, SMS on 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au or Facebook, just look for Pink Popcorn. Kylie's going to be frantically Facebooking throughout the show. So.
Yeah, I'll log on in a second and we'll start posting links from what we're talking about very soon.
Very, very soon. But up first now, we've got Heartbeats by the Knife. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9, and that was Sleepyhead. I'm sleepy now. By Passion Pit.
Blame. In a secluded country house on the outskirts of the bush, a piano teacher leads a strangely isolated life. Without warning or provocation, five immaculately dressed and masked intruders attack him and leave him for dead. A suicide note provides the only explanation to the perfect crime. But it's not perfect at all. Their best laid but ill-conceived plans go horribly wrong when their victim fights for his life.
You didn't think this through, did you?
We still have a chance to finish this.
I'm not going to say anything. No one will ever know this happened.
It's a little bit too late to realise your mistakes now.
He's not a complete moron. He'd make anything up right now.
Think of what he's done.
Don't try and make me feel sorry for you.
I'm sorry.
You gotta love thriller trailers, don't you? Just the music and the dun-dun, the heart-pounding action.
Oh, I love it. Mm. Yeah, I particularly love Australian thrillers,
yes,
because there aren't that many of them,
no,
let's
not
face
at all.
It, because, you know, we do love genre films in this country, but I think mostly we swerve towards the horror genre. So it's great to have a thriller, and just hearing it on that trailer there, like, you know, you haven't really thought this through,
yeah,
mate.
Have you,
mate?
Bloody idiot. But the great thing about this, it's all set in one location.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of real-time films. And, I mean, thrillers, not really a great fan. I'm not really a fan of thrillers. But when they're done well and, you know, in an interesting way. But I think Australian, you know, it has that Australian flavour. And it's shot, I think it's South Australia. I was trying to work
yeah.
out.
Oh, actually, but, you know what? I think it's shot in Perth.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's shot
oh, cool.
in a house outside of Rolling Stone. It's my kind of hood. But it feels very rural,
yes,
and very isolated. And this incredible kind of modern but old house that feels like it's got lots of little secret rooms.
Mm.
And look, it is what thrillers do best. There's five people who are after the one guy and things just do not go
exactly
as planned.
Yes.
And everyone has secrets and everyone is kind of not telling the truth. And you know, it actually, I think this is a testament to this film. So I had the screener because it's only screening in one cinema and it started on Thursday. And I was watching it and my girlfriend Rose came in right at the beginning just to kind of have a little, she's like,
what are you watching?
I don't want to watch a thriller. More like that. Sorry, Rose. So it was more like that. And then she just started watching from the edge of the room. And then a few minutes later, she kind of sat on the edge of the couch. And then about 20 minutes in, she was under the Nana blanket. Wow. We were curled up on the couch.
Going,
and we wanted to know what was going to happen next.
Not the puppy, because it's the puppy dog. Not the puppy dog.
Oh, well, we were very tense that something bad was going to happen to the puppy dog. We don't like that. Don't worry about the humans.
Yeah, exactly.
But no puppies.
Only the animals. That's what we're concerned about.
Well, and there's great Australian talent on show here.
Yes. Kirstie Morassi speaking. She was in Wolf Creek.
She's great.
Terrifies me. Every time I see her on screen, I go, I think Wolf Creek can get you, poor thing.
Yeah, no, I've avoided that film because I don't want it in my brain.
No, exactly.
Just like the Human Centipede. Remove don't want that. It in my brain. Ugh, so just, you know, we'll not be doing it.
And there's a guy, some sexy young man who's in Rush.
Oh, this is my man crush, Ashley Zuckerman.
Turn away now. Go and walk Jet. Quick, go.
I have these really strong feelings for, I don't know if you've ever, I quite like Rush. As Australian police shows go, I think Rush adds something a little bit different to the TV environment. No, it's kind of filmed in quite a pacey way. I think the actors are really great and the stories, particularly in the first season, maybe not so much now, were really interesting.
Yep.
And he plays kind of this young, innocent cop I just think he's very charismatic.
And in this particular, he's very charismatic, but in this film, he's kind of the hothead.
Yeah.
He's like, because he's the girlfriend of the boyfriend. The boyfriend of the girl who has killed herself. So it's like, he's like emotional.
Yeah.
The premise of this, actually, the thing that's interesting about this is that they go to a funeral of this girl who's killed herself, and they decide to, you know, take revenge. And so they've had no sleep. So I think that's really interesting. They've driven into the countryside. They're obviously incredibly emotional. They're sleep deprived.
Yeah.
They're dealing with this situation.
They're wearing their fancy funeral like frocks.
They're idiots because they haven't thought this through. No, they haven't, because they're emotional. They're tired.
Yeah.
They haven't thought it through. They haven't worn gloves. They're like, dudes, come on.
There's a bit of wiping off the fingerprints.
Haven't you seen movies? And that does nothing.
Haven't you seen CSI? Oh, that's completely useless.
So there's some really interesting thing about that. You're going, because but all that stuff, it's not. It's been thought out by the filmmakers. It's not like, oh, they've slipped, you know. And that's, I find that really interesting, because from the start you go, come on.
Yeah,
it's going to go wrong. But I think it's quite interesting. And look, there are some twists and turns, not as many or as clever as I'd hoped. But the ending did shock me. I must say I was not prepared for the ending.
And I think what's great about this is they don't overstay their welcome.
No.
It's kind of getting 85 minutes.
Lean and mean.
I love it. So while it doesn't have a lot of twists and turns, at the same time, it really keeps the pace going.
Yep.
This is only screening at Cinema Nova.
Yes.
They have it exclusively. And I think they've done something that is quite brave and fantastic. They're screening a short film prior to...
Celestial Avenue is fantastic.
It's a great little short. It's really fun. Jason Gann, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, no, it's good fun.
And Angus Simpson is in it as well. Yeah. So, look, and I think because the blame is a little bit on the short side, perhaps, though I have to admit I'm loving that length.
Absolutely.
It's really fun to team it with an Australian short film. So that is a great combo.
Yeah, it's well worth it. And the filmmaker, actually, he studied Michael Henry. He actually was a VCA graduate. So, you know, Melbourne.
Go
Melbourne. Go support Melbourne. So I think in terms of queer content, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no. I mean, look, it's very talented actors. They're easy on the eyes, but.
There's no queer content.
No.
I'll give it 3 stars.
You know what? I'm going to give it 3 stars as well. 3 out of 5.
That's worth saying, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's good fun. Go and see it at the cinema. Or wait for DVD.
Well, yeah, and it's only a bit, you know, it's good to support Australian film and especially short film. So,
yeah.
It would be good. Coming up on the show, we'll be talking about Bridesmaids. People, there will be fireworks in the studios. We can guarantee it. But up next, we'll be talking about Little White Lies. This is Helena Beat by Foster and the People. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
That's Young Blood by The Naked and Famous. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy at 94.9. Little White Lies is a French style, the big chill with an all-star cast. Every year, high-strung Parisian hotelier Max invites a group of close friends to his beach house for a vacation season, filled with food, wine, and adventure. On the eve of the group's latest trip, their friend Ludo is seriously injured in a motorcycle accident. Flocking to his bedside, Max and his friends eventually decide to head off on their eagerly anticipated vacation, albeit with some reservations. As the holiday begins, tensions within the group start to erupt. Each of them harbour secrets that slowly emerge and, after a succession of incidents, a moment of truth finally tests their friendship. This is a big, big all-star cast. Like, it's Marion Cotillard is probably the most...
Oh, she's so we gorgeous. All know, yeah,
she's Oscar winner for Le'Veon Rose.
Wow.
But, I mean, if you're a, sort of a French cinephile, you know there's François Clouseau, there's Jean Dujardin, who is...
He's gorgeous.
Spunko. and, yeah, there's a whole host of them, and you sort of know a lot of their faces and you know...
Certainly their bodies.
Names. Totally. but, yeah, it is, and it was a massive success in France last year.
Wasn't this one of the biggest box office... Yep. Successes they've had in
years. The two actually biggest French box office successes of last year was this one and Of Gods and Men.
Ah.
So these two, you know, really phenomenal dramas that, you know, they're not, you know, it's on paper. You kind of go, wow, it's just a group of people going on holidays, and there's another one about, you know, Algerian monks.
How much fun can it
exactly.
be?
Exactly. But that's the thing. God damn, I love the French because of that. You know, they just make this cinema work, and it's anyway, I could go on forever about French cinema. This was actually quite fun. It is one of the, to start with, one of the criticisms that people have had about this film. It's long. It's 2.5 hours long.
Oh, kill me right now. Poke me in the eye with a knitting needle.
See, a lot of people just won't go
that?
There. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It takes its time. It's very leisurely paced, but you know, it's not slow. I don't think it's slow per se. I actually really enjoyed being with these people, but that again is one of the, for me, the biggest criticism of the film. They're not really likable. I mean, this opening sequence, which is unbelievably extraordinarily, it's all in one shot with Jean Dujardin's character in this club. Like, he's taking coke and he's dancing, he's kissing girls, and then he decides to walk out, and he gets on his motorcycle. And then he's involved. But he's driving through the it's really eerie, like the streets of Paris. It's just empty. And then he gets hit. It's extraordinary, like visually. But then these friends come along and they've got this holiday coming up. They go every year. And they go. And you go,
that's mean.
That kind of sucks. What are you people doing? You know? Anyway. So that does play a big role actually in the film, especially towards the end. Sort of, you know, that kind of that idea, you know, should we go back or not? But you know, everyone's got their problems, and you know, like the Big Chill sort of, you know, the scenario, any drama really with an ensemble cast in one location.
It's kind of set around one kind of time period.
Exactly.
Or,
it's all
over, coming together.
Or all over a couple of weeks. I mean, the thing I love about it, it's the sense of the friendship. Like, it's a really believable group of friends.
Yeah.
It's a really believable situation. They really get along well. You know, it's French, so there's lots of yelling. There's lots of, my God, they drink so many bottles of wine. And smoke so many cigarettes.
That's what makes them so cool.
It does. But they look gorgeous, you know, and it's a really, like, he's very wealthy, the character, Max's character. So the house is unbelievable.
And they have a boat, isn't it, on the water. And, it's, you know, like they have all those kind of, you know, water skiing and all of that kind of stuff.
Exactly. One of the interesting things about this is the queer content. At the start, before they go on the holidays, a couple of the characters have kind of little issues which, you know, are brought into the holiday. One of them is one of the characters, Vincent. He is I think he's either a chiropractor or does something with people's bodies, but he's, I can't remember. I'm sure it's either like it's a chiropractor or always like with muscles or something.
An osteopath
or something. There
or
we
something.
Go. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
People I never go to, I don't know what they're called. But he's doing his practice on Max, and they're, you know, so Max
is there some inappropriate touching?
No. Max is basically just sort of setting it up. So Max is basically just in his little just shorts, you know, so it's lots of, you know, bending and thrusting and pushing. And then Vincent all of a sudden just says, relatively innocent to him, Vincent, by the way, is married with a child. He just says, I love you, but he goes, I just love your hands. He goes, I really just love your hands, and I love being around you. It's just started to happen. And it's interesting seeing this an audience, and there's a few people behind, you know, tittering laughter. It's like, and then the Max characters is kind of his reaction. He's quite shocked. He's a very highly strung man. So he's like, he's about 50. He looks like Dustin Hoffman. He's like, you know, really? And he go, oh man, that's played a little bit too for laughs, a bit, you know, kind of uncomfortable queer moment. And the Vincent, who's very, very kind of quite calm in this whole film, he's quite lovely. He's like, I'm not gay. I'm just saying, I just love your hands. I love being around you. Very interesting. And that plays out throughout the film, because Max is uncomfortable with Vincent then, and people pick up on it and they go, what's going on between you two? And it's like, no, everything's fine.
We're not gay.
Oh, they didn't actually mention that, because he doesn't mention to them, you know, he loves. But it's interesting how it's played out. And there's actually there is some really lovely moments how that drama plays out. So yeah, this film does have, you know, it's, you know, pretty, a big subplot is queer content. Plus one of the characters is bisexual, but that's just at the start, and it's purely just a, oh, isn't she a bit of like Bohemian Takeover because she went out with the woman kind of thing. But that's...
It's just so French in between so guzzling French. Red wine exactly. And then smoking their cigarettes.
Kiss a girl and, yeah, it's
of course. Kind of all the French do it, darling.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Yeah.
So I did enjoy this film quite a lot. I was looking forward to seeing this. It was a big hit at the French Film Festival here in, you know, it was in Australia a few months ago. And it's just, I think it's good. I'm always a fan of seeing films that are successful in their native country, just to sort of get, you know, the zeitgeist of what, you know,
what's happening in other cinema.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely worth seeing.
And what would you give this out of 5?
I'd give it 3.5. Bit excellent. Generous. It's sort of one of those ones, you know, if it's 3.25, I'd give it that. No, 3.5. It's good.
We're not doing quarters. No.
And it's in limited release now. And it's, yeah, it's, it'll be playing around, I think, for a while. But definitely it's beautiful, shot widescreen. So it looks gorgeous.
Well, we'll put a link to that on our Facebook page as well, so you can check out where it's screening.
Absolutely. Up next, everybody, fireworks in the studio. We'll be talking Bridesmaids.
There may be tears and maybe some vomiting. who knows?
That's both a film and a review. But first up is Africa by Tim and John. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9, and that was Ronnie by Chiquita Violenta.
In Bridesmaids, Annie's life is a mess. But when she finds out that her lifetime best friend Lillian is engaged, she simply must serve as the maid of honour. Though lovelorn and broke, Annie bluffs her way through the expensive and bizarre rituals. With one chance to get it perfect, she'll show Lillian and her bridesmaids just how far she'll go for someone she loves.
I wanted to come over some ideas for the bachelorette party.
I was thinking Las Vegas.
Strip club.
Disney World.
Have you ever considered a personal challenge weekend?
Ah, I love puppets.
I need to smell the neck of a man I don't know.
Fight club.
Go to a fight club?
No, we're not going to go to a fight club.
Okay.
We're going to be the fight club.
Vegas it is.
This is going to be a kick-ass wedding, and I got some fine bitches by my side.
Helen, aren't you having any meat?
It's not good to eat a big meal before a fitting.
Oh, this is some classy
Jeez, Megan.
I want to apologize. I'm not even confident of which end that came out of.
You got food poisoning from that restaurant.
No.
Not the bathroom. Everybody, go outside.
You guys need to get off this white carpet.
I'm a nervous flyer. I'm sorry.
I had a dream last night that we went down. You were in it.
What?
You should just toss it back.
I'm ready.
Chill.
You're like the maid of dishonor.
Hey, I'm glad he's single because I'm going to climb that like a tree.
Are we going through hell again with that trailer? Is that forever?
I could watch I could watch that trailer again and again. There are several trailers on there. I might put all of them on Facebook because every single one of them, I just think they're hilarious. They are so funny.
No.
Really?
No.
Didn't you even like that trailer just then?
Oh, it brought back bad memories of seeing the film.
So, first of all, let's set this up. So, Bridesmaids is being called Hangover in High Heels. So, it's the chick flicks version of the gross out comedy. And unfortunately, Paul and I went and saw this together. Right there, that was a bad move.
Bad move.
Because I have really been looking forward to this film. It has been hyped to the extreme. I've been putting up stuff on my Facebook page for probably 3 months now, how excited I am about
and it was
this
a big,
film.
It has been a huge success in the States.
Huge success. Gangbusters on the box office. And I think maybe I was expecting a lot.
Yep.
And then to see it with you.
Yeah, I squirm in films anyway. No matter what film they are, unfortunately,
you are
I can't
Mr.
sit still.
Squirmy Wormy.
When I don't like a film, I'm squirmy, wormy, wormy. I apologize.
It really pissed me off.
We almost broke up because of it.
I almost divorced my gay husband because I have sat through so many films that drive me bananas.
All right.
And this is my one film that I wanted to enjoy.
Yeah. The thing I didn't like about this film was, look, bottom line, I just didn't think it was that funny. I mean, that was a problem. I mean, I haven't seen Hangover films. I have no desire to see those films. Judd Apatow films, they're okay. I don't know. I think I like Kristen Wiig. She's
fantastic.
She's a great
presence. The lead in this.
And she wrote this film.
Yeah, she wrote
it. And the thing about me is that, look, My favorite films of all time are screwball romantic comedies, where the dialogue rules and the performances are sparkling. You've got Katharine Hepburn and, you know, Cary Grant. And
there's no vomiting in those films.
There's no vomiting in those
or
films.
Or diarrhea.
No, there's not. And this film, you take away all the gross out kind of, you know, humor about vomiting and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing there. The dialogue isn't that funny at all. And the performers, some of them are okay. Melissa McCarthy, who's the large girl, and she, you know,
she's fantastic.
She's great. Like, I think she's got such great presence and great timing.
She's hilarious.
I want to see more of her.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig, she's a nice presence. She's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I just found the film, and it's so goddamn long.
I have to admit.
Comedy should be no more than 90 minutes.
I agree. It is long. It does have a bloated middle act, where it seems to go off on a whole range of kind of different tangents. It doesn't quite pull it together. And so it does meander a little bit in the middle, which unfortunately does bring it down a notch.
What did you like about it?
Well, I did like the situation.
Yep.
And I love this idea, particularly of weddings and how they're hell and being a bridesmaid is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that you have to do. And just the sense of humour that has felt like really modern and contemporary, and also it's really from a chick's perspective. It was a great ensemble cast. Rose Byrne plays her a nemesis who wants to be the other bridesmaid.
Who basically, she's incredibly rich, and she takes over all the activities and basically just throws money at it to make everything lavish and wonderful in that commercial way.
Absolutely, and
the weddings become.
Exactly. And so I really, and I love the interplay of the friendship, and some of it really did make me laugh.
Yep.
Look, I myself am not a fan of diarrhea and vomiting in films.
Mm.
I find that a little bit know, it's not really for me. So that there were a couple
of 2-year-olds really for me.
There was a bit of those. There were a couple of those scenes that, look, that's just not, I don't like that in any films. You know, I don't think we need to see people going to the toilet.
No,
that's just me.
Exactly.
You know, I'm old school that way, perhaps.
I'm with you on that. There's some really interesting stuff. The romance that she has.
Oh,
this guy, I think he's Irish. I can't remember his accent.
He's from the IT crowd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like the geeky guy. So she's trying to have this relationship with him. In between, she's like I want to say a word that I can't say on air, I've just realised. So she has a sleeping partner arrangement.
Yes. Oh, my God. That actually is the only thing
John
I like.
Hamm.
John Hamm. See,
from
John
Mad
Hamm.
Man.
John Hamm is phenomenal in this. See, John Hamm's got such good range. He plays this complete prick.
Yes.
And he's phenomenal at it. He's absolutely extraordinary. And that's in, he's in like a few scenes. That's the only thing I like about this film, actually. But
well, there's no surprise there. He's very hairy.
Yeah.
And he's naked most of the time.
But he's actually very funny. But you see, queer content.
Now, there is this weird thing where a couple of the bridesmaids, when they're on, you know, they're drunk, they do share a girl-on-girl kiss.
That is supposed to make us all laugh because, look, the girls are kissing.
The girls are kissing. And then it goes nowhere.
And they leave the film. That's what annoys me.
Yeah.
Two things. It's made for the straights to laugh at the queers.
Yes.
Which,
yeah, that's.
And then they leave the film. It's like, really? Come on.
So some of the other bridesmaids, they do get a raw deal in terms of their subplot. I did also want to mention as well, Rebel Wilson, the Aussie actress, is in this. And I was really looking forward to Rebel because I heart Rebel. She's amazing.
And Matt Lucas from Little Britain.
Yeah, so they play siblings who are her Annie's crazy flatmates. And her accent, is it English? Is it Australian? Is it, I don't know what. She really comes off quite poorly in
God,
this film.
God, it was embarrassing.
So look, I wanted to love this film. I think I would have enjoyed the experience far more
if
you hadn't
there.
Been there. I would have just been able to
That's
embrace.
Most of
No. I would have been able to embrace the
true.
Cheesiness and the fun of it. And I would have, I think going with a group, a bunch of friends, don't expect, you know, this is not high art.
Yeah. People. And look, and the reviews of this film generally have been really, really good.
Yes, yeah, so go with medium expectations and you will have a good time.
Yeah, I'll give it 0.5 star and that's just being generous.
Well, that's ridiculous. So, mind you, when we talk about the new Terrence Malick film next week, we might have role reversal because Tree of Life.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll save that for next week. So, Bridesmaids.
What score are you going to get?
I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 because I thought it was actually enjoyable. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot to like in this. And it's really frigging funny.
And it's in cinemas absolutely doodly everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. This is One Life Stand from Hot Chip. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Well, that's it for another week of Pink Popcorn on Joy 94.9.
Paul and I have recovered now. We're besties again.
Yay, we hugged. There were tears, but it was fine.
It's only a film at the end of the day. Our relationship is worth so much more than that.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to Michael and to Alan for pushing the buttons and making us, you know, well... sound good and appear.
Also, big thanks to Jill who SMS'd in, who said that she really loved the show and rocking the tunes. That's all you, Paul.
Thanks, Jill. You rock.
So we've got a bit of sad news. Well, I don't know. It's sad, exciting, whole new future.
New pages turning.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
You might be wondering what on earth we're talking about. This is actually our second last Pink Popcorn show.
I can hear the tears now. Falling.
Don't cry.
People going, no.
So next week will be our last show of Pink Popcorn in its current format. As I'm sure many of you know, Joy is a voluntary run radio station and everyone who's on air does it because they love it and being a part of the community. And every 3 months or so, the program and the grid changes and a whole lot of new programs start and some programs finish. And we're one of the ones, we're going on hiatus indefinitely. We don't know even when we'll be back.
But you can still hear, or Pink Popcorn will still live with Kylie.
That's right. So I'm kind of rejigging the show. I will be doing a movie review, still under the name of Pink Popcorn, with Andy and Adrian on breakfast Thursday morning. Of course, once they get back from their paternity leave and long service leave. So that will be happening. Plus, hopefully you'll be hearing me on the Joy airwaves in other shows where I'll just be doing a sprinkling of movie reviews here and there. I can't stay away.
Yeah, exactly. You love it. You love it. Love it. So, but definitely keep, I mean, the Facebook page, you know, Twittering, blog, all of that. You know,
to podcasting go, will stay the same.
So, you know, joy.org.au Pink Popcorn. Check it out.
Yeah, Kylie. So if you want to stay involved, please Facebook us.
Indeed. And next week, our last show, we'll be talking about The Tree of Life and Sleeping Beauty. Coming up now is Adam Todd with Bandcamp. So until next week, see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.